this thing on? Rokan Show.
Testing.
I know, in the button. What's going on? It's a red button. You press it.
It illuminates
when
you press it.
On, off.
Needs to be in the on position.
Mike Rogers is joining us now. He is a former congressman from Michigan's 8th Congressional District, many, many years as an officer in the United States Army and an FBI special agent, in which he worked right here in the city of Chicago. And Congressman, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. And you're a talk show host as well. I hate to even bring that part up, but you know that it's the red button on, yellow button off. That's the way it goes in our business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
All right. Well,
classify. That's what you need to know about America's spy story.
Right.
You know. Did I sneak that in? Did I say declassified on CNN on Sunday night? Did I mention that?
Which is an excellent, excellent, excellent program. All right. Well, let's talk about declassified for a second here.
Sure.
Congressman, your thoughts on Vladimir Putin's press conference today in which he backed up Donald Trump and said that this dossier is, quote, rubbish, and that he believes that this is a political witch hunt to try to impact the impression of Donald Trump as a president of the United States.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing is, for those of us been in the national security space for a very long time, to say the least, a head scratcher. So I would not suspect that Vladimir Putin would say anything other than, well, I don't get it, nothing to see here, we would never do such a thing. I do think that whole briefing by the intelligence community on something that was not substantiated was a very poor choice on their behalf. And then the whole public fighting of it with Obama and Trump and the intelligence community, I have to tell you, I worry about the long-term consequences of all of it.
Do you think that Director Comey should resign or be replaced?
You know, I don't know. He's got an IG investigation going on now about the way it was handled. And it's, you know, the president can ask him to leave. There's this misnomer that he does not work for the president, even though he has a 10-year term. You know, the FBI director can be asked to step aside. I would have everybody take a deep breath and say, what are the long-term consequences of tossing him out? Does the public trust go up in the FBI? Has it been damaged? Does he have the vote of confidence in both the House, the Senate, and the executive branch? And really, I'm not sure yet what the answer to that is. I think he can get through it. I would, you know, my caution to the Trump administration was to go slow in any decision you're going to do there, because you can do more harm than you do good. We do need the FBI in the fight on crime and cybercrime and organized crime and terrorism and catching spies from Russia, you know, trolling around Washington, D.C., trying to get people to work for them.
There's an interesting story in the Washington Post that went live last night. It included a number of people who had signed one of two letters that went around from the intelligence community, high ranking, either current or former members of the intelligence community, who had signed a letter over the summer saying that they didn't support Donald Trump, Michael Hayden being one of the most, former head of the CIA and the NSA and a former Air Force general. He was, you know, one of the more prominent, if not the most prominent name on those lists. And the story in the Washington Post was a discussion basically of many of these guys who would normally find their way back into Republican administrations within the intelligence community, in appointed positions, and their phones are not ringing because they were in that letter. And one person speculating that perhaps a blacklist has been created, even of Republicans from the intelligence community, by the Trump administration. Do you believe that there is a blacklist, and what do you make of this whole issue?
Yeah, you know, obviously, as an incoming president, you're going to want people who at least wanted to work with you. And I think the people that got in trouble weren't the people who signed the letter the first time around, but the people who signed the letter after he was the Republican nominee, and right towards the end was that second letter.
Right.
And, you know, rightly or wrongly, and I do think there's some really talented people on the list. I'm not sure they should have used their national security credentials that late in the game to say they were aghast. You know, so there's always going to be some political consequence to that, and I think you're seeing it. I don't think it's a blacklist, again, I just think the president is saying, you know, listen, I've got these other great people who are also really smart in national security, and I'd like to surround myself with them. And so that's what I think is happening. Again, I wish the second batch, and some of those people on that letter I talked to and said, hey, as my mother said, if you can't say anything nice, just don't say anything at all. I think that would have been a better position for them. And again, I just don't think they're going to filter to the top of the list. And again, there's some really good people who aren't on the list. And
but isn't there, but let me follow up just very quickly on that. Isn't there some concern, though, in the intelligence community that you do have a novice politician coming in here? Here's somebody who has not a lot. He didn't have a security clearance, didn't have a lot of experience with these issues. Clearly, his public pronouncements and his Twitter activity and all the rest of it seem to tend toward some of our people or seem to be cavalier about some of the international circumstances around us and tend toward people that the intelligence community, Vladimir Putin to be, you know, chief among them, are not trusted by the intelligence community but seem to be coddled by Donald Trump, or maybe coddled's too strong of a word, but at least, you know, encouraged that there's going to be, you know, some sort of warmer relationship. I mean, isn't there some, I mean, that was that not a legitimate concern when they expressed it?
I think the letter was, you know, deeper than that. And listen, I think there is going to be a growing period in the Trump administration when it comes to national security. At least I hope there is. I do think that they've got some maturation to do on certain pretty big issues. And I do think a lot of that changes. You know, now it's great to talk about it and go through the process and picking your team and doing all those things. Great. But you get the keys. You get the combination to every lock in the government and the keys to every cabinet on January 21st. And, oh, by the way, that guy walking around with that suitcase around you all the time is a pretty weighty responsibility, and that's with the nuclear code. I'm hoping all of that wraps up into something important.
What about the decision and the breaking news this afternoon, the president's decision to commute the sentence of Chelsea Manning to almost time served, you know, getting out in May rather than 2045, which was originally the schedule for her release? It's raised a lot of questions about, you know, the leak of American military and diplomatic secrets and the president's decision to commute the sentence to time served 7 years. What do you make of that? Is that the right decision here?
No, it was absolutely the wrong position, the wrong thing to do. I think the president knew it. That's why he waited 3 days before he was out of office to try to sneak out the back door. I just think this is awful. So this is somebody who stole information. He was sitting in a theater, a combat theater, stole tons of information, obviously searched around and grabbed things that weren't even related to the work that he was doing, and caused it to be transmitted to our enemies, some through public sources like WikiLeaks. It had, and I lived through this, I was on the Intelligence Committee at the time, and I can tell you it had real and significant damage, not only in our diplomatic corps, which we had to spend a lot of time trying to get right, but also leaking information that good counterintelligence agencies like our adversaries have, from China and Iran and North Korea and Russia and other places, used to improve the way they do things and their tradecraft and other things. It was very, very damaging. And what you do is just another very public kick in the teeth to everybody that's in the intelligence business who lives by the rules and the law to keep classified information classified. And what you say is, well, because we feel sorry for this particular individual or for whatever reason he decided to do it, we're just going to give him a pass. It's a terrible precedent.
Yeah.
And I think one that's going to reverberate around the national security community for years to come.
Boy, I mean, you said it exactly right, Congressman. It is a kick in the teeth. You know, I'm somebody who's predisposed to, because of my background, my family, and my experience in my life, to be very respectful of people in uniform and of people in military uniform specifically, and especially of intelligence officers, because my father was one, and I I can't believe what I'm living through here, because it feels very much like a nightmare to me. And I know that you were you're working the FBI and you're working the Intelligence Committee in the House when you were there, and you spent some time, you know, with the incoming Trump transition team. I mean, there was a moment where your name was floated for some pretty big roles there, and it appears you're not going to be going, at least at this moment, into that. But can you, for those of us who are concerned, and I think there's a lot of us who are concerned about international relations and our ability to, you know, an already, you know, somewhat weakened state on the national stage, and now we've got what looks like a complete reset of the post-World War II metrics that were in place, architecture that was in place in Europe and in Asia and in the economics around the world. As we look at all of that, we need to have the best intelligence, and I just fear greatly that the current administration and now the incoming administration are going to take that less seriously than they need to.
Well, I do worry about it. Now, I can say that my job was the national security portfolio. I handed all of that information over, and 100% of that material was re-engaging our intelligence services in a way that helped protect America in a way that the Barack Obama administration did not. Including pulling back certain activities, including doing the aw shucks, we're sorry kind of routine when we're just getting absolutely bombarded by our adversaries in cyber and human intelligence and other things. So I can hope that they cracked those books and got in there. And I know some of the people who are going in there now who feel exactly the same way. That makes me feel better. A guy like General Mattis, who will make a fantastic Secretary of Defense, gets it, and I know him personally and had multiple conversations with him and worked with him when I was chairman of the Intelligence Committee. He's great. He's going to be fantastic, and he will not be a wallflower when it comes to people saying, well, maybe we ought not, and he thinks we ought to. Believe me, he'll stand right toe-to-toe with anybody and tell them that's the way to do it. So, and he'll have a thoughtful, scholarly approach to why it ought to be done that way.
Right, that's
so
good
I,
to know.
You know, I think there'll be some tug and pull in there, but I think at the end of the day, like I said, they're going to grow up pretty fast. The world is as complicated a threat matrix as I have ever seen to the United States. And, you know, you're once you start paying attention, and by the way, your decisions are the ones that matter, not what you say about it.
Yeah.
I think you'll see, hopefully, a little bit of a change of attitude.
Are you concerned about the apparent coziness of the relationship with Russia?
I don't know. You know, I go back and forth. Sometimes I scratch my head on it. Again, I'm hoping that once they own all the information, they can peek over the shoulder of the people doing this work and fully understand. And as chairman, I did that. And you get a very clear-eyed picture about what the Russians are up to. And any moment of any day that you think that they're thinking about the U.S. best interests, I have to tell you, they're not. Matter of fact, they're fine. If they're patting you on the back, they're trying to figure out where to put the knife. They're not saying good job. They are very aggressive. We have more Russian spies in the United States today than at the height of the Cold War. Their cyber teams are clearly engaged in cyber espionage, misinformation, information campaigns, and very aggressive about it in ways we haven't seen in a while. And they're investing in strategic development of their nuclear submarine fleet and other things.
Right.
This is an adversary. We need to go into it knowing that.
Are you concerned, though, that the president seems to be taking this, the president-elect, seems to be taking this more personally than he does professionally? That's my great concern.
You know, again, I don't know him well at all, other than what we can see through the media. So I'm willing to give him an opportunity to show us what his policies are when he gets in and how he responds to those first briefings. And even though they get briefings now, you know, he gets to ask for these briefings. These briefings, the way they get the presidential daily brief, you have to remember, is geared toward the president of the United States today, Barack Obama. And so the kinds of briefings that Trump will get starting next week will be up to his national security advisor and the president. And that will change. And if he thinks that they're wrong about Russia, then my thing is haul them all in, put them through the ringer. Give them the wire brush treatment. All of that's fair game, but use the facts that we as we know them, and then generate your daily briefs and then your policy conclusions based on that. That's what I'm hoping is going to happen. When they do that, and by the way, it's good. The wire brush treatment is okay for our intelligence community. You ought to push them, you know, as hard as you can, and make them prove their point. And they'll do that by their analytics and the information they have, the sources they have, and other things. Where I think the president will be in a much better position to come to a conclusion if he thinks Russia is okay or not.
When you heard from Putin today, you know, saying he's never met Donald Trump, and he likened the people who leaked that dossier to prostitutes. He had very strong statements, very pro-Trump. That whole thing, it was hard to know what to make from it. With your experience, just on its face, what do you make from what Putin was trying to do today with that statement?
Well, it's that old saying: if your enemy is about to commit suicide, you know, hand him more rope. And so, you know, any notion that Putin wishes Trump well is just a misnomer. I just think he's playing a very cagey game as a former KGB agent about what his intentions are. And I think you're going to continue to see that. Remember, he's the leader of Russia. He believes that he's doing pretty well in the grand scheme of things. In the world, and by the way, I'd agree with him. He's kind of schnookered our current president in ways that were just mystifying to me. And I think what you're seeing here is the big theater of, you know what, there's spies here? Who said that we would spy on anyone? I just think you have to take what he says with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
The real action here is way our president, once he knows all of the details about Russian activities, information campaigns, and their effort to recruit Americans to spy against the United States of America. Once they figure all that out, you'll see a different approach, and one that will be based on mutual respect walking in the room. I think that, you know, who knows, at the end of the day, could be helpful.
All right, Mike Rogers, in my estimation, a true American hero, as an FBI boss, as they like to say here in the Chicago Police Department, bosses, and as a United States Congressman and your service to the country and the Army and all of that. So appreciate your time and your service, sir. And don't forget, Declassified Untold Stories of American Spies airs on CNN on Sunday nights.
Check that out.
I love it. Thank you so much. And the only reason you're so nice to me is because I have your FBI file. I promise two more of these sessions and you get it back.
Let me just tell you something, Mike. This is exactly what Trump's doing with Putin right now. All right. I'll talk to you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.